Here's our pastor.
Look with me at Psalm number 107, the 107th division of the psalm. That sounds good. Thank you. Amen. 107th division of the psalms. Amen. We will parade and peruse. Let's just try to confine it to verse from verse 15 to verse 22. That's what we will try and do. Amen. And no scripture safe in that particular psalm. Amen. Amen. Y'all have Psalm number 107, the 107th division of Psalm. And we will begin reading at verse 15. If you have that, say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Psalm 107, verse 15 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their souls abhor all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, flower fade, but the word stands forever. Amen. Well, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought a few reasons to be thankful. Amen. Just a few, because we got a lot. Amen. If I'm just by myself, I can take all day and tell you what I'm thankful for. Amen. Because he's done so much for me. Amen. That I don't have time to tell it all. Amen. And so there are some things that we ought to be thankful for. And this particular psalm, it's a psalm that calls us to worship God, to praise him, to lift him up. Because it lets us know that if you read it, you'll find out that there's nothing you can offer God in physical value that will be enough to satisfy him. He also said that if I were hungry, you wouldn't know it. He said that if I needed something, it's nothing that you can give me that will satisfy the need if I did need something. So all he asked of us, you and me, is that we would praise him and offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes we find that hard to do because we can't see our way. And we can't see where God has brought us from or where and why we are where we are. Amen. So when in this particular psalm, it is the picture of what had happened to the children of Israel while they were in Babylon in captivity. And so they had a whole lot of things that they could have complained about. They had a whole lot of things to feel sorry about, a lot of things that they could have been angry about because they were in captivity. And here they were supposedly to be God's chosen people. That kind of reminds me of us a lot, because here we are. We're supposed to be the church of God, the children of God, right? We're supposed to keep the commandments of God. And then we think we're doing fine. And then all of a sudden, the devil gets us in a bind. He gets us in bondage. We are in need of deliverance. We need God to help us. We need God to bring us out. We have problems in our life, situations that arise. We're not on the mountain. We're now in the valley. We're up to here in our problem, and it seems like we're drowning in the situation. And we're supposed to be God's chosen. Well, it happens to the best of us. And the reason it happened to them was not because only because they had sinned, but because they just were not totally obedient to what God's word was. They decided that they would do it a little while, and then they do a little bit something else a little while. Sound like us, right? Sometimes we want to serve him, and other times we want to serve ourselves. Y'all don't hear me. And so they were carried away captive, and he began to talk to them about a lot of things if you look at verse 10 through 14, he talks about some things. He talks about the dangers and the things that they might have to deal with. The captives had to deal with the darknesses and the deep sorrow of their soul from being displaced. You know how sometimes we may not be physically displaced, but sometimes we're spiritually displaced. You ever been to a point in your life where you just don't know which way to go? You don't really know. You can't identify where you are? Well, that's called a spiritual displacement. You have been displaced spiritually because of some situation that come and carry you away from where you were spiritually. You can't meet God where you used to meet him. You go to that same scripture and you don't feel the same thing. You play that same song that used to pull you out of the blues and put you in a happy place, and you don't feel it anymore. You go to the same, you go and you pray the same type prayer, and all of a sudden you don't feel God. You're spiritually displaced. And this comes from being in captivity and sorrows, and your mind sometimes getting to a place of disorientation, and then you're disgusted at some things in life, and you begin not to be thankful, and it pushes you away from where you need to be. Y'all with me still? He's telling them, or the psalmist is writing about, this danger, this darkness that you might encounter. And we all encounter this darkness. We all get to a place where we can't see our way. Amen. He talks about this deep sorrow. And not only that, but he talks about death. He talks about how closely, if you read it, how closely they came to death. And he said, but look, this is the happy part. He talks about deliverance. Over and over in these stanzas of this particular psalm, over and over he talks about what we go through, but God can deliver us. Amen. Look, he talks about deliverance. Just for a moment, look at 13 and 14, that verse. Verse 13 and 14. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They were bound. They were in distress. They were in darkness. They were displaced. They were in deep sorrow. But he says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. He saved them from dire straits. He saved them from their darkness. He saved them from the horrible pit that they had been put in. He saved them. He says in verse 15, oh, that men would praise him. Goes again and reminds us, this psalm is full of that particular saying or verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He's saying to us, oh, we don't have a reason to complain, but we have a reason to explain why we ought to be praising God. Oh, that men. That's what he's crying out. And he said, oh, if you just only pay attention to what God has done in your life. I know today it's not what you want it to be. I know you had a situation all last week. But if you can just stop and quit looking at the hills that you got to go to and look back and see the hills and the mountains and the valleys that the Lord has already brought you over and brought you through. We look at the stuff we're about to face. We look at where we are, but we don't look at if God has brought us through it already. Some things that we are about to face are not worse than the things that God has already brought us through. And if God has a reputation of deliverance, I need to rest on that. And I don't need to be thinking about, worried about how it's going to work. I just need to know that God will work it out. You see, how I get delivered ain't on me. I can't tell God how to deliver me. All I know is I'm in a mess. And I know that he knows everything. And if he knows everything, he's able to give me a way of escape. Y'all still with me here? So he tells us in verse 15, even though we're in danger and darkness and we're in deep sorrow and death is around us and we get deliverance, he's telling us it's our duty. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. It's your duty to praise God. Verse 15 says, oh, the men would praise the Lord for his what? Goodness. We, You know, we praise God only when he blesses us with some tangible thing that we could see or we can have. But then, you know, this goodness is not about just tangible things. This is him supplying our need. This is God being our shepherd that we don't have to want for nothing. This is God leading us in the path of righteousness, right? This is God that leads us beside the still waters and restores our soul. All of these things that God does, we ought to be rejoicing and be glad that he's doing them. You know, if you thought that your prayers was so powerful, I dare you for one day to miss out on a prayer or miss out asking God for something and see that God still won't do it. I'm not telling you not to pray, but what I'm telling you is God is so good that he does what you don't even have sense enough to ask him for. Anybody ask God to wake me up in the morning? You ever ask him, say, Lord, wake me up in the morning because I don't know if I'm going to get up? No, you go to bed. And he woke you up this morning. Come on and say amen. Anybody ask God to, God, keep my heart pumping? No. He keeps it pumping. You ever ask God for your next breath of air? He just gives it to you. And if God is that consistent with the things that we don't have to act with, that we don't have to talk to him about, how much more consistent would God be for the things that we ask him for? Y'all still with me here? Oh, that men would praise God. Why? For his what? Goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, notice he said the children of men. That means that, as David said, we were born in sin and shaped with what? Iniquity. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. If you're born in this flesh, that means you're imperfect. But we serve a perfect God. We're imperfect. Now, he said, but even in your imperfections, God does some wonderful and wondrous works unto us that he don't have to do. You ever wondered if God truly hear your prayer and then all of a sudden something happens to verify and to confirm that God has he's heard your prayer? Amen. I'm going to tell this and they in here, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. Now, they said they asked God to send them something in the mail. And he did. Amen. He sent them something in the mail and they text me. They said, you know, God got a sense of humor because I asked him to send me something in the mail. They weren't specific about what, you know, they asked him and God said, okay, boom, there it is. And he did it. But the thing about it is that God is that kind of God. He lets you know I'm hearing your prayer so I can keep you encouraged even though I hadn't pulled you out of the pit yet. But I'm pulling you. Don't worry. I got a way. Y'all don't hear me here. Let's go on. He says, verse 15, he says, for the works of the children of men, wonderful works to the children of men. So even though I'm a man, God still think enough of me to bless me. Even though I'm not angelic, amen, but I'm a man, God still loves me enough that he blesses me. Verse 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. Now, this is the thing I like about this. He says that he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. What he's saying here is that no matter what your bondage is, that God, if it's brass or if it's just iron, if you're in a more complicated situation than somebody else, it doesn't matter. God can break those bars. In other words, God can set you free from whatever man has devised against you, whatever the enemy has devised against you. God can break those bars. Anybody want God to break their bars? You've been in a bondage lately. You've been in a mental bondage, a physical bondage, a spiritual bondage. Do you know that no matter what that bondage is, that God is a way maker? That God is somebody who cannot be defeated, denied, or destroyed. And so therefore, if God is in you, then you go on in your bondage and watch God make a way. And the only reason God lets you go into bondage so he can teach the people and the devil that he can't hold you in bondage because God has freed you. The Bible says, he that the Son set free is free indeed. And so even if I go into bondage, I'm still free. And if I can keep my heart, my mind, my spirit free, then I'm coming out of this thing. Tell somebody I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this bondage. Why? Because if God did it for Peter, who was just content with where he was, he sat there and slumbered and slept. Peter wasn't up all night crying about the bars that he had when he had been arrested. He wasn't up talking about it. He wasn't, Lord, help me out of this. Lord, show me a way. Lord, open this door. He wasn't asking God to do nothing. The Bible said in the book of Acts that Peter was sound asleep and an angel had to hit him and wake him up. Y'all don't hear me here. The angel had to bump him and say, look, Peter, time to get up. It's time to go. Do you know that God sees you in the same way? You go on and go to sleep and let me be concerned about how you're going to get out of this. You go on and rest yourself, because you're going to have to take a walk after this. Y'all don't hear me here. And so Peter went sound asleep, and the Bible says that as he was asleep, the angel came and bumped him and woke him up and told him, Peter, get yourself dressed. Now see, that's the part we got to do. We got to learn how to dress ourselves. What are you clothed in? Are you clothed in complaining? Are you clothed in mess and gossip and stress? Are you clothed in depression? What are you clothed in? Get up, Peter, and dress yourself. You was bound, and so since you're bound, you took off your clothes. You took off praise. Come on and say amen. You took off prayer. You took off your righteousness, your grace. You took it all off so that you can sit here in slumber. But I tell you what, if it's time to go, get up and put and dress yourself. Anybody want to be dressed in a robe of righteousness and the praises of God go forth? Come on and say amen. And so the Bible says that Peter got up, walked up out of the jailhouse door, and it opened up for him. Then when he walked out of the jail and went to the prison door where the prison was, it opened up. The gate that he got to, the gate, the Bible says, opened on its own accord. In other words, no matter who you are, where you are, and God knows what's going on, he can deliver you. And guess what? God says when you show up, just position yourself and watch doors open. Dress yourself and position yourself. Come on and say amen. You got to get your composure back. You got to position yourself. Stand in front of the place where God says you to stand. And when you just go like he says go, doors are beginning to open. And sometimes we get all the doors open and we're looking around. There's a gate. I can't get out of the gate. God said, don't worry about the gate. The gates of iron. He said, I break the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. In other words, God said, it can't stand before me. I'm too powerful. I'm too, come on and say amen. I'm too anointed here that this stuff can't stop me. God said, I will break the bars of brass and I will cut the iron. Come on and say amen. So how does he break it and how does he cut it? He breaks it with his hand. Oh, come on and say amen. When he pushes on it, he cuts it with the sword of his word. Come on and shout glory. Verse 17, I'm going to try to get out of here. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now, we have to understand what he's meaning here by fools. Those who, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So the fools, that's what he's talking about. People who act like, may not even say it, but you live like, ain't no God. Like God don't see it. Like God don't know it. Like God ain't watching. Yeah. Like God ain't there when you do it. Yeah. You know how we think God ain't watching. We, as long as people don't see us. So what about the people? It's God you got to answer to. We have to see that these people that were in bondage, they were there, and some of it was because of their own doing. Now, let's be real today. Can we be real? Some of us are in a mess because we made some poor decisions. Now, quit talking about, I don't know why God let this happen. Because you want to do your own stuff. Be a man, be a woman. And say, I screwed that up. I messed that up. I made some bad decisions, did some wrong things. I got myself in a mess. I act like God wasn't near me and did what I wanted to do. Come on, tell somebody that's me. So not everybody guilty of it, right? Because of transgression, that means because I went outside of the boundary. Transgressed because I went out. God has set a boundary for me. And I went outside of the boundary. And now I'm paying for it. Y'all with me here? And let me tell you something. You know, you see people do this all the time when they go outside the bounds of where God put them and something happens, they run back to church, they come to the prayer line. I'm not telling you something wrong with this, but I'm telling you, they do this, and then you don't see them for about 4 months.
Preach that, Doc.
Again, I say, this prayer line and me praying for you ain't gonna fix your 2 years of mess. One time up here ain't gonna work. Like the old mother said, you need to stay on the altar. You need to hold on to the horns of the altar until something changes in your life. Prayer won't fix what you need to fix yourself. I know we say prayer fix it, but prayer will not fix what you won't fix. Okay, you don't believe me? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, that's fixing yourself, right? Pray, turn from their wicked way, that's still fixing yourself, then will I hear from heaven and heal your land. Until we fix it. You got the power to say no. I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna do that. You have the power to do that. You tell God no. When he tell you to pray, I'll do it tomorrow in the morning. I ain't getting up at 2 in the morning. I got to go to work. You know? And then we can't go. Look, and the sad thing about it, God won't let you sleep, but you lay there in the bed. You can't sleep. God telling you to pray. But you want to lay in the bed. The fool, because of their transgression. I just said, let's be real for a moment. I'm still in my real moment. It's when we mess up, when we act like God don't know what's happening. He says, because of our transgression. Or because of their transgression. I know y'all don't want to be included. So their transgressions. Because of their iniquities. You know what that means? The things that are in our heart that nobody else don't know. Huh? The stuff that's hid that we talking about taking to our grave. That we want to hold on to. Just let it go. Just say, Lord, I confess it to you and I'm through. Amen. Now, I know y'all want to confess it to other people, but I'm telling you. I told you the story. Should I tell it again? Even the preachers, you know. There were some men, some preachers, you know, doing that movement of let's confess. They was going to confess their sins to each other. They were like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad we needed this camaraderie. We need to build this fellowship. So each one of them went around and they talked about what they were, you know, their thing that they struggled with. They were talking about their struggles because they couldn't talk to their congregants and people. And they said, you know, one of them said, you know, I got a problem. What's your problem? Man, I just love women. I can't help myself. And another one, he said, man, I love to smoke. I like to smoke little left-hand cigarettes every now and then. You know, reefer. The other one said, man, I'm not going to lie. Boy, I down a half a pint before I go in the pulpit. They just, you know. Then the last one said, man, I'm glad we had this, man, because my problem is I love to gossip. So they done told all their business and he still ain't delivered. Huh? But talk to God about it. Let him have it. Truly let him have it. Amen. He said, look, he says, because of their iniquities, because of the thing. And, you know, we got to understand that the Bible says, what did Jesus do for us? He was wounded for our what? Transgression. We just talked about the fool's transgressions, right? Because we went outside of the line, the boundary. We crossed the line. We went too far, right? Into our sin. And so, and he said, bruised for our iniquities, right? Iniquities is
The bruise means that if you have a bruise, that means that there's a blood break under the skin. Right? There's a break under the skin. There's a wound that's underneath the skin. There's some things that's skin deep underneath our skin that we got going on in our life that we can't get free from. Amen. We got some stuff under the skin that people don't know that you got. You go home and you struggle with it. Mm-hmm. You go home and you deal with it. You got some iniquities. Amen. And so he says, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Amen. Afflicted. They're sick. They're hurting. I'm hurting because of what I got underneath. You can't see it, but I'm hurting. And we got a lot of people in church that you can't see what's happening, but they're hurting. They have iniquity. They're bruised. They're dealing with this issue. He said, and the reason why is because of iniquities. Verse 18, for their soul abhors all the manner of meat. Now look at this. I know what this, now literally this means that they just ate whatever they wanted to eat and thought that I can eat what I want to. And you know, if you got high blood pressure and you indulging in pork all day, every day, you're going to have a problem. You ain't no need. You talking about, Lord, deliver me when your head busting. Your blood pressure 200 over 180. And you talking about, Lord, help me. No, you stop eating the pork and take your pill. That table salt done killed, listen, it done killed more black folks than the police. Now, I'm sorry. I'm just joking, y'all. But it has. Table salt has. Limit that. You know, I'm just trying to say here, what it's saying is that you do whatever you want to do and then your body start breaking down and then you call on the Lord. That's what that's saying, right? But let's go a little bit deeper into looking at that. They soul abhor all manner. He says soul, mind, will, and emotions. You're into pleasing yourself. And so he says you please yourself with everything you want to please yourself with. And then they draw near unto the gates of death, get close to dying, and then you all of a sudden you're calling on the Lord. I ain't worried about it right now. You know how, you know, folks, you know how we used to do when we were young? We just, you know, dry, ain't worried about it. You drink, I come almost near death. That's why you're throwing up. You got alcohol poisoning. And then we get around that porcelain throne and call on the Lord. Somebody say, Earl. I call Earl and the Lord. Back in my day. Amen. Earl had to be the deacon. Because I call him and the Lord back in those days. Amen. We can't just do what we want to do. And then when things seem like they're about to destroy us, then call on the Lord. We have to stay within the limits, stay within the boundary, and let iniquity go. Verse 19, I'm getting close to the finish. He says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Look how good God is. He said, even the fool, and you know, old people say, God take care of fools. Even the fool in his mess, in his iniquity, in his transgression, God still looks at him and say, you know what, I'm going to take care of that fool. And so if God do that for the fool, what about the rest of us that believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? What about the rest of us that if he does that for the fool, and I'm trying my best trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do, but every now and then I slip and I'm like Asaph, my foot almost, and sometimes not almost, it do. And I got to realize that even though I fall, that I got to get back up and get back in line, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What about that? If God does that, and this is encouraging to me, because if God looks at somebody who said that he ain't existing and live like he don't exist, do what they want to do, and he delivered them in their distresses in the moment that they cry, I cry out to him, I know he'll hear me. Quit wondering if God will hear you and know that he hears you. Quit wondering if God will deliver you and know that he's a deliverer. Quit wondering if God will save you and know that he's a savior. He is a Savior. Amen. You see, you don't need to wonder if God will do those things, because all those things, that is exactly who He is. He is a healer. He is a Savior. He is a friend. He is all of those things. He's a deliverer.